gentlemen. Thank you for coming out tonight.
We're
an amazing artist. He goes
walk with me.
That's right. Make some noise. Come on. Get louder. Make some noise.
Walk with me.
All we have is what we're blessed with. The rest is just
walk with me.
Trials and tribulations, all the hate, and we gon' make it just
walk with me.
Never get too low, we can rise above it. Gotta recognize we struggling
walk
and hustling
with me.
On this journey we call life, I'm just earning my own stripes. Better days, man, I've been praying like all night. Sacrificing the ball is life, having dreams of me building temples. Elevating, educating, still got dreams of me going to temple. Man, I wanna be versus the man I was born into. Born into sin, no judging, but there's no creme de la creme in the city. It's us against them. The worker versus the taker versus the violator. The hustler in me will annihilate ya. Ask the creator why they describe fortune as paper when we all know the real players is shedding love. You spread that, you get it back tenfold. Stay on your feet like insoles. You reap what you sow, right? Don't be asleep for your whole life trying to creep these streets like underneath ain't a hole, right? We'd rather dig ditches instead of building bridges, but I'm here and I lack fear and I need a real witness.
Walk with me.
All we have is what we're blessed with, the rest is just
walk with me.
Through the trials and tribulations, all the hate, and we gon' make it just
walk with me.
Never get too low, we can rise above it. Gotta recognize we struggling
walk
and hustling
with me.
On this journey we call life. Walk with me. Grandmom 50, grandson 16, but to the household he's a king. Cause he envisioned his mother as a queen, but she passed when he was 8 and grandmom took her place. She was a base head and daddy was a base runner. He never loved him, chose his money in replace of him. That's when grandmom stepped in. Her grandson.
What's good? What's good, fam? Welcome to Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. Thank you all for tuning in. Let's see who's all in here right now as we check out the show right now on Facebook and YouTube Live. Let's see, we have Sister April Hibbler out of Mississippi. Peace and Black Power to you, Sister Wukusu. Wake up, clean up, stand up, family. See, my brother Abdul is on the line. Wake up, clean up, stand up. Peace and Black Power to you, King. My sister Monique. Peace and Black Power to you, sister. Everybody, y'all, everybody's up on there. Make sure y'all share this broadcast, family. Make sure y'all share this. If you haven't gotten a chance to get a copy of the Independence Day Project, family, I'm asking you, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for, family, in regards to, you know, why you don't have your copy of the Independence Day Project? We keep telling you this movie, this particular movie is the liberation template for Black people. This movie right here is the liberation template for Black people, family. So I'm trying to figure out why y'all don't have it yet. Go to blackindependence.org and grab your copy now. As we see him go live, make sure you share this broadcast, family. I was a little late getting in here. And let's see, my phone is still on, notifications and whatnot. But make sure you share this broadcast, family, because this broadcast tonight is going to be historic. We're going to really break down some interesting facts. I hope that we're able to engage and have everybody engage in the conversation. I see my brother Abdul has already shared it. That's what I'm talking about. This young king is special. Y'all better pay attention to me, young brother, man. He's on it right now. Y'all better pay attention to him. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all get this out to everybody possible. Everybody. Because we're going to break down, because I've seen a lot of people talking about, today I've seen Black people saying that Juneteenth is our Independence Day. And while I recognize the importance of Juneteenth, that's, make no mistake about it, we can't minimize the fact that our ancestors had shackles removed from them and that they were actually free to leave those dreadful plantations. That's a very important fact in time in our history. So never to downplay that, it is important. I understand that there's a movement right now to create a Juneteenth holiday. I don't have a problem with that. But what I want to do is also start focusing on things we can start doing as a people, as we start moving forward, and as we can, so we can create our own, you know, our own holidays and our own days of celebration where we don't depend on anybody else. All right. So one of the things I want to tell you, one thing I want to talk about tonight, family, is this concept between what real independence looks like versus what other people's what independence really is. So, you know, we have on one hand we have July 4th, and then we have Juneteenth. And one of the things we want to get into really, family, is what is the difference between July 4th and Juneteenth? Wakusu, brother Edward McGill, peace and black power to you, King. So let's get into that real quick. You know, one of the things that that was gained on July 4th, and just correct me if I'm wrong here, July 4th, there was a Declaration of Independence. And the dates are, you know, kind of off because it didn't necessarily happen on July 4th. There was a constitutional convention in Center City, Philadelphia at Independence Mall. You know what I'm saying? And because we had that, because they had that meeting there, that was to determine this. You had 56 men in this room who determined the fate for the entire country. Now, I want y'all to pay attention to that. It wasn't the entire, you know, it wasn't the entire population that was actually down for liberation. You know, you had a lot of people in the United States at the time in the colonies of America at that time who were very loyal to the British government. You know, they were very loyal to the crown. And so, you know, you had spies amongst them, and there were spies all over. They had spy networks. You know, both the liberators, those who sought for the liberation, and then those who sought for independence. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is the things we have to understand, that everybody wasn't on board then for America's liberation. In fact, less than 3% of the colonists actually engaged in the war between the colonies who sought freedom and the British crown, which at that time, it was said the British Empire was so vast that the sun would never set on it, meaning that the Brits, you know, they had conquered most of the known world. So, in regards to this, we have to take into account what people were fighting for. They weren't fighting to have chains removed for them. They were fighting because they didn't like there was an oppression in place. It was definitely an oppression in place, where the British were, you know, that they were seizing property, seizing land, and they were, you know, quartering homes, property, food. You know, the troops were like, yo, I'm claiming this shit in the name of the queen. You know what I'm saying? And they literally take people's hard-earned money and food. There was taxes because the states were bringing in a lot of money. You know, Britain didn't have, you know, access to a lot of wealth on the island of England. England's an island. They didn't really have access to a lot of wealth on that island. It was pretty destitute. You know, it was no place. I mean, literally shit in the streets. Literally. That whole concept of not having to pot the piss in the window and throw it out of, they were talking about times in England, all right, during the not so dark ages, I would say. So when you start, you know, really looking at the concepts of what people here in America were fighting for, they were fighting for, and I'm talking about the colonists, they were fighting for their own liberation and independence. They had different newsletters that was going out. I mean, we talk about this in the Independence Day Project. You know, we talk about this, how they created a mindset where they generated propaganda to present. And when they were able to generate this propaganda, they got enough support from other members of the colonies to join leagues and join forces. So when they met in Philadelphia in 1774, they came up with this idea of independence. All right, independence. So they themselves created a Declaration of Independence. All right, now this is very important to understand. They themselves created a Declaration of Independence where they decided at this point they no longer wanted to be under the thumb of British rule. Now, one of the things we have to really look at in that regard is because that in itself, in a sense, is what we're talking about. Because Juneteenth, you had no letter, no document of independence. True, that you know, the United States or the government at that time, they were pressured, the Northern, you know, during the Northern and South and whatever, before, even before the South succeeded from the North and created their own Confederacy. There was struggles and pains all throughout the country because of slave uprisings and slave revolts. And you had African slaves who were fighting on all different fronts all over the country, who were leading revolts. They were leading raids on plantations. And so we talk about all the stuff that happened in the North, but we had a lot of people specifically in the South, because Florida was not a United States colony. Florida at the time was owned by Spain. And in Spain, I mean, in Florida, slavery was abolished. So once people who were, you know, blacks who were slaves, once they made it to Florida, they were free. They were off the plantation. They weren't being, you know, of course they were sent raids in to try to find them, but they were protected. You also had the Seminole tribe, And what people don't, you know, what people are wondering is, well, who the hell were the Seminoles? Well, the Seminoles were mostly escaped slaves and a few natives, Native Americans, and they mixed and co-mingled and they formed the tribe. You know what I'm saying? And this is one of the things that, you know, when we talk about John Horse, you know, John Horse was a Southern slave who escaped also from the plantation. He came back, he led slave revolts and slave rebellions in the South. And see, you had these all over the country at the time. They're loosely described as the Seminole Wars. All right? Loosely described as the Seminole Wars, but truly these were your ancestors' family, black people. These were your ancestors who held a 40-year long war. All right, 40-year-long war that preceded the Civil War, but it causes so much fear and pressure specifically because this was right after the Haitian Revolution. Keep everything historically in context now. So they forced the hands, you know what I'm saying? They forced the hands of, you know, of the colonies. My brother Bill Young said the colonies did not want to use British money, which they had to pay interest on the poke. I'm glad you brought that up, Brother Bill, because we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. So one of the things that happened, and one of the things that we, you know, one of the things that happened after that point was they had created such fear that because there were so many African slaves in the South that it was nearly 1-to-1 population between Southern whites and Southern Africans. You know what I'm saying? It was a fairly, you know, the population to the point where if those African slaves that ever worked together and ever had gotten the opportunity, they could have overtaken this whole country. So that fear was in place. So this is where the whole concept of the Emancipation Proclamation comes into play. All right. The Emancipation Proclamation comes into play because at the time, and we're going to skip to the Civil War. The Civil War, the North was losing the war. They had more troops than the South. They had more access to weapons, but the South had better generals. The South had much better generals, and specifically General Robert E. Lee. He was whooping the North's ass everywhere, ambushing them, getting tactical command, you know, making them chase them up in the hills and shit, and then, you know, have his squads waiting for him. He basically was able to tear the North a new asshole. You know what I'm saying? And so they needed to switch the scales. And what happened was Lincoln, who went about, you know, Lincoln, who is clearly illustrated in all of his works and all of the articles attributed to him at the time, Lincoln did not want to free black slaves. He did not want to free black slaves. But he saw that as a tactical move, if he wrote an emancipation, if he wrote this Emancipation Proclamation, which only freed slaves in Confederate states, so states like Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, you know what I'm saying? I think I'm missing a few others that were above the Mason-Dixon line that decided to stay in the Union, those states could still have slaves. Now, you weren't free if you're black and you lived in those states. That's very important to understand. But in states that weren't controlled by the United States government, I mean, by at the time the United States government, because the Confederacy had the South, he stated that those Africans in those particular states were free. Now, what you had was something happened twofold. One, when word got out to those black people in the northern parts of those states, they just started walking off the plantation because one, all of the white Southerners, the majority of them were engaged in war. So there was nobody really to police slaves walking off the plantations. So they started leaving the plantations. What happened then is you also had members of the Confederate Army who said, oh shit, I got to get back home. And they started abandoning their posts. And this led to a decisive switch up in the battle and in terms of morale. And you know what I'm saying? And what you have now is, what you had then is you had the North seize the opportunity because the South was falling apart at the seams. That's what the emancipation did for the Civil War. But make no mistake about it, the purpose for the whole Civil War to begin with was that the North was saying, first of all, the South was getting too much bread. And the second, they become too powerful with this cotton trade. And second of all, you know, that they were terrified of anti-slave resentment by African slaves. And so that this is one of the things that led to that. So you did have your ancestors sort of forced the hand. But when it comes to the Emancipation Proclamation, there were no black people sitting at that table to negotiate that document. No black eyes, no black words were contributed to the document of the Emancipation Proclamation. Whereas in the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, we had 56 white men converge in the convention center here in Philadelphia in the Constitution Hall, and they all decided to sign the Declaration of Independence. So they spoke out for their people. You see what I'm saying? So already we have a difference between what July 4th means and what Juneteenth means. You know what I'm saying? So now let's get down to the nitty gritty. You know what I'm saying? Let's start going a little further into the what July 4th meant for them and what Juneteenth meant for us. Let's get into that right now. Because with July 4th, they created a constitution. Constitution that was going to discuss how this country would be formatted, how the land was, how the land was going to be distributed, how the laws were going to be passed, this, that, and the other, the breakdown of the powers, whether you had the legislative, the judicial, and the congressional. You know what I'm saying? The executive office and how you had to break the powers down. They had all those things in line. All right. So they already had a structure for government. Then you had the Bill of Rights. Now, these were the protected rights of the citizen. Keep in mind, in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, the word citizen is peppered throughout the document. One word that's not peppered or anywhere to be found in any of those documents is the word democracy. Think about that for a second. The word democracy is nowhere to be found in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, or Declaration of Independence. All right? Keep that in mind. They were able to seize the land that they were on. They were able to seize the land that they were on, family. Now, addition to seizing the land, they had sovereignty. They were the supreme owners of that land. The land was theirs. They didn't have to deal with anybody else. The land was theirs. There was no disputes over the land. They owned the land. And because they had an eye for what was known as eminent domain, they often saw how to expand that land further west, further south. You know, what we know is Texas and Arkansas, I believe, used to be Mexico. Funny now that all the border wars are going on. So it granted them a certain type of protection. Now let's go back to Juneteenth. Juneteenth basically was the celebration for when the last slaves were notified in Texas 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. They were notified by a black battalion that slavery was indeed over, the Civil War was over, and they were free to leave the plantations. All right, that's what the celebration of Juneteenth is. In a nutshell, is okay, just like you waiting for somebody to get out of jail and they come out of jail, but that felony charge is still there. You know, they might be on parole, probation, whatever, all those things still apply. Those things are going to be used against them every facet of society. Well, that's what Juneteenth represents for us. See, so what we're really trying to break down, family, is that Juneteenth was no day of independence for black people. Independence on July 4th, that's what they fought for. They fought for land liberty and the pursuit of happiness and all that other good shit, which really was the pursuit of land. All right? That was the celebration for independence. And that's why on July 4th, the 4th of July is, you know, celebrated every day. And Frederick Douglass wrote a beautiful speech illustrating what July 4th meant for us. And basically stated that, you know, this pale holiday doesn't mean anything to Black people because we're still not free. You know what I'm saying? There's still no need for Black people to celebrate because, you know, for everything that benefits you, it hurt us. You know what I'm saying? These rationales we have nowadays for celebrating these things are akin to, if you're a sports fan, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, it's like cheering when the Lakers win the championship. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't feel right. You know what I'm saying? And if you're, you know, let's go further. You know, you don't even have to be a Lakers fan or whatever. But if you're a football fan, you know what I mean? If the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl and everybody else seems to hate the Cowboys, but y'all want to celebrate for Cowboys, that's typically what celebrating July 4th is for Black people. Juneteenth is to be remembered, is to be memorialized, is to be respected. But it does not replace, the fact that we do not have liberty as Black people. I mean, you have a congresswoman right now, Maxine Waters, who's receiving death threats for basically telling people that they have to utilize their right to protest in regards to Donald Trump. Now, I don't agree with all of Maxine Waters' politics, this, that, and the other. I'm definitely not a reformist. I'm definitely not one of those people who believes that, you know, we can have equality in the system. As you, if you listen to the show before, you know damn well I don't believe anything, you know, this so-called word in terms of equality for us to share. I don't believe any of that. But, excuse me, but one of the things that we really need to understand is, you know, we can't have people feeling comfortable making death threats to members of our community. But that comes in line with the fact that as a community, we have to stop ambulance chasing and we have to start community building. We have to start nation building. And what you do with the nation building is you have to start contributing to your own causes. I put a video up yesterday. Due to the fact that it was protested by a few people, I took the video down. Because they said it was a bad representation of their of what they do. So I, you know, out of respect for that, I took the video down because I did take the video at their place. However, the video was a white man basically talking about how they come into Black communities and they do fundraisers and they fund community initiatives. And then they become partners with those community initiatives. And you know what I'm saying? And then now they have a stakehold in those community initiatives. Now, family, let me explain to you what that really means. That's basically colonizer language for we see where your air is leaking, we plug it, and then we stay there, you know what I mean? Because now we're part of your solution. And see, this is the whole idea. And it's funny how we're talking about this on so-called Independence Day, you know, because Black people, if we want our real independence, we're going to have to fund that independence. And I know every time we talk about money, Black people start frowning and shit. And we don't want to deal with that or address it, and people just start turning it off. But the bottom line is everybody else is funding their nationalism. There's talks about how people, you know, how we're losing our lineage and our ties to Black people in Africa and all the places in the world, because when their villages, there's some villages in Africa or wherever that people are struggling to get water, well, you'll have a white dignitary show up and give, you know, give them access to clean water. Now, what did that do? Now, who are they going to be loyal to? You, who was this champion, you know, protesting and screaming loud and typing all caps on Facebook and Twitter and this, that, and the other? Or the person that said, you know what, we're going to give you this water. You know what I'm saying? I got that, good brother Bill. I got that, brother Bill. I got the link for the 4th of July address. I just read it earlier today. To refresh, you know what I'm saying? So family, one of the things we have to do is we have to get on board and on code with what it takes for self-liberation. You can't talk about a liberated front as a Black people and exclude the financial aspect of it. Because what I just described, It's the same thing. It's the same reason why you call them Black Lives Matter sellouts, and I call them that too, but because they accepted George Soros money. But if I'm sitting here struggling and with a movement, and I need Black people to support it, and Black people to give me the thumbs up, and you'll hit me with all the likes and hearts and shit, but when it comes to actually contributing to the cause, you start talking about how we're pimping it, and then this white entity shows up with more money than I've ever seen in my life for, you know, basically saying that we're going to give you the money to do your thing. You know what I'm saying? We're quick to call them sellouts. But when you think about it, who's the real sellout? Because if the Black community, if the Black community itself has saw right to see the potential in something and to actually contribute to it, financially invest in it, there would never be a door left open or a window cracked far enough for these other colonizers to come in and usurp it. There would never be. You know what I'm saying? You know, you really have to understand that we have got to up our game when it comes to stuff to sponsoring our own liberation. You can't have liberation without sponsorship, family. And that's why we've been talking about that for a while. But you can't, you know, even through, you know, when I'm going to these festivals, things of that nature, I'm seeing white vendors everywhere. Why? Because they're the ones that are going to pay, unfortunately, in these programs, you know, when these programs go on. You know, so we need to start understanding how we have to play a role in our own salvation. And the role has to be on three fronts. I mean, well, not just three fronts, but basically you have to have the ideas, you have to have the manpower, but you also have to be able to fuel it. So I'm going to start going to some of the questions. I see we have some questions. And I'm going to go to, let me see. Your brother Bill Young's been busy. The colonies did not want to use British money, which they would have to pay interest on, as opposed to use the colonies' money, which was debt-free. That's another thing that the Constitution at the end of the 4th of July, that's another thing that they won, the right to print their own money. They won the right to print their own money, family. We don't have any money. We don't have money that we can print. You know what I'm saying? They won the right to print their own money. And see, that's when you have your own government. You have your own money. You have your own banks. You have your own institutions. You have all those things. They scare Black people so much, we're scared to have an Africa town. You got Chinatowns all over the goddamn country. You got Cambodia towns. Shit. You got Little Mexico, little Tijuanas all over the country, little Cubas. You know what I'm saying? All these little places all over the country. You got them over. You got the Jewish districts. You got the little Italy's. You know what I mean? You got all these different places. Germantown. Every goddamn city got a Germantown street in their community. But we can't make Africa town. We can't even build that. Man, what's good with that? Let me see. Brother Edward says, the only power in a capitalist country is capital. The LGBT community is proof of that. There's no one says the word faggot anymore, but they still say nigga. Man, and I'm going to tell you, they say nigga, kike. They don't say kike. They don't say spick. They don't say wetback. They don't say none of that shit. You know what I mean? But they will say, and that just tells you how little power we have. And, you know, another thing about Juneteenth that's very, very evident, family, is that we got for Juneteenth, we got we've fallen into this game where we're trying to get these I've got a streamer. Oh shit, streamer dashboard, okay. I might have to look into that. But we get into this competition now where, not competition, but this thing where we're just settling for victories. We're settling for wins. And like, what I mean by settling, we're settling for things that really aren't victories. But we want to claim them as victories to pretend that we're winning. So when you say, hi, Juneteenth is my holiday, nah, well, yeah, it could be a holiday, but it's not your Independence Day. that goes to show we still struggle with the research aspect of doing, you know, historical, you know, tell, you know, historical tallying of information. If you studied Juneteenth, you would know. In fact, when Juneteenth took place, I mean, Juneteenth, when we're talking about the celebration of Juneteenth, the June 19th, last slaves were notified in Texas. Do you know that Native Americans still had African slaves in this country well up into the 1860s and late 70s, 1870s? Do you realize that? The Cherokee Indians, the Chickasaw Indians, they all still had slaves, and they were negotiating treaties because they had become, their tribes had become financially dependent on the labor and all of the production that they were getting from those slaves. Do you realize that? So Juneteenth, we celebrate Juneteenth. That was the end of maybe, and then we had another story that just came out, that there were some people in Mississippi and recently, within the last 40 years, that were still on plantations as slaves. I think the story came out in the Atlantic Black Star or something. One of those tabloids came out with the story. I might be wrong about that, but I knew the story. They were still on plantations. And are we going to forget about the prison industrial complex? You needed the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th Amendment for Black people to be actually recognized as citizens in this country. You needed three amendments to correct what the original Bill of Rights said in terms of what a citizen was in this country. And that's why they had to change the language to naturalized or born in the 14th Amendment. But then they had to add the 15th Amendment because the 14th Amendment wasn't strong enough. You know what I'm saying? So these are the things that we need to start processing, family, in regards to our relationship with this hellacious country that we live in. And yeah, because there are certain freedoms that they don't want to look hypocritical about, I can say these things. But best believe, if I say too much, I'll be added to one of those watch lists. I probably already am on a watch list. When you create a movie about Black independence, you know, free white supremacy, I think your name automatically shifts to the top of the list. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure somewhere, somehow, I'm on that slowly creeping, creepy letterhead that says Black identity extremist. And here's the funny shit, right? They just recently identified this Black man as a terrorist because he was talking about driving from Ohio to Philadelphia to do a truck bomb while they did the 4th of July celebration. You know what I mean? A truck bomb. But guess what, family? It's all cool that they caught him and everything. I don't want nobody to get caught. There's definitely going to be some Black people down there because we don't know how to stay away from the fucking white celebration. You know, as Black people, and my brother Jerome Fox says, we're hopelessly addicted to white. So, I understand that. So I'm glad that they stopped them because I didn't want no Black people getting killed, getting hurt. I mean, but let's be real. You just had a man run up into a newspaper company, a newspaper building in Annapolis, Maryland, and kill 5 people with an assault rifle, injured 2 others, and this man, they caught him hiding under the desk, and somehow, some way, he wasn't considered a terrorist. But he was terrorizing that newspaper for 2 years. You see, family? Why do you want to buy into a system that already berates you, berates your character, berates who you are, to, you know, already presents you as a criminal? Why do you want to buy into that? I need that question asked, family. And if you can't answer it, I need for you to ask other members of your family, why do you keep trying to buy into a system that already, from the day your child is born, that child is seen as a criminal? Potential prison cells are built for that child. You know what I'm saying? We keep telling y'all this and people don't seem to fucking believe this. And that's the bad part. It's just like when those people start telling us, oh my God, they're using those empty Walmarts as prison cells and they're separating families at the border. Like, we've been telling you this shit for the last 10 years. Last 10 years, I've been telling y'all that they've been building these shell supermarkets, shell super department stores just for prison space. We tell you this Vex 84 plan been in play for a long time. It's an addendum to the King Alpha plan, which is all about locking up black nationalists all over the country and putting them in prison camps. This is the country. This is America. You know what I mean? As Childish Gambino was said. This is America. As you can hear the fireworks going off, that shit is amazing. I don't even live that far just in the city, but you can hear the fireworks going off right now. You know what I'm saying? So family, we have to we have to give understanding and freedom. Like I said, family, share this broadcast because people need to hear this. I'm not mad. Excuse me. I'm not mad at the brothers and sisters who, you know, who are still struggling with their waking phase and the, oh, we can't have no fun. Like, listen, every fucking time somebody says something, y'all go into this bag where you say, oh, we can't have fun. It's like, okay, but all you want to do is have fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no adult part of this. There's no part of growing up and maturing. This motherfucker's 50 years old talking about, oh, y'all killing my joy. I just want to have fun. I mean, what point? You got grandchildren. Play with your grandchildren for fun. You know what I'm saying? What more fun? We've partied our asses off and partying started on the plantations. We're still on plantations. The plantations is bigger now. And the boundaries are invisible, but they're still there. You know what I'm saying? And until we build that empowered black community, I don't know what to tell y'all, fam. Let me see. This whole concept that we're dealing with, you know, where we're dependent on people for our own food production, we're dependent on people for our own security and protection, for our own medical care, we're dependent on people, and when you really get to the root of it, they don't give a fuck about us at all. They don't give a damn about you at all. They've shown it in their history. It's like if you're talking about going on a date with a person, learn about their past to determine or not, you know, to get the determination of their future. Well, it's the same thing with the relationship with white supremacy. How come we can do all those things where we can talk about all those different things in terms of relationships, in terms of how we get along with each other, but then when we start talking about our relationship with white people, all of a sudden people get defensive. People get protective. I had a brother tell me the other day he didn't have a problem with white people, he had a problem with me. No shit, you know what I mean? I can't relate. I have to elevate, move on. I can't deal with that type of stuff. You know what I mean? I'm real, real passionate about this, man. That's why we're trying to build the National Black Liberation Front. We're trying to build a foundation of brothers and sisters who are dedicated to the acquisition of black nationalism once more, you know, through African concepts. You know what I mean? We're trying to gain that, family, because right now, family, we're struggling. We're struggling wholeheartedly as a community to grasp what is nationality for us. You know what I'm saying? We're having a hard time getting our people on code. So these are the things we're struggling with because our people so much, you know, everybody, I mean, I've seen so many beautiful sisters in red, white, and blue. I've seen a brother wearing a damn Uncle Sam hat. He called, I ain't gonna say his name because, you know, but America doesn't love you, black people. America owes you, black people. There's a debt to be paid, black people, to you, by America. But America, built on a system of white supremacy, has never been good with sorting out their debts. They'd rather kill you so they don't owe you no more. That's what's happening with us. They're literally killing us so that they don't owe us any more bread. They know that they owe us restitution. They know they need to repair the damage that's been done to our community. They know all those things. So the whole concept of this is America Yeah, but America ain't for you, black people. And that's what we need to start understanding. You know, we need to start understanding that. And that's why I wanted to break down to you the difference between what liberation was and what just somebody saying, listen, you're free to go home now. That's the difference between July 4th and Juneteenth. You know what I'm saying? Juneteenth, we were just, they just took the prison guard off of us and they let us go. And here's the bad part about Juneteenth, y'all. You want to know the bad part about Juneteenth? The reparations that were paid after the Civil War was over was to the white slave owners that owned slave and lost property. Let me say it again because somebody's Facebook is freezing. The reparations that were paid were from the government of the United States signed by then President Lincoln, stating that that because Southern slave owners lost their slaves as property, that companies like AIG and other, you know, Wells Fargo and all these other companies out there that had stock in slavery, they were to pay out and receive government stipends and government reparations for the loss of their property. Meanwhile, the 40 acres and the mule that were promised to Africans who helped overthrow the Confederates in the South and the South and the islands across the South Carolina coast were all taken away. And those Africans were made to leave those plantations. This is the stuff we're talking about. Oh yeah, they destroyed Liberia. The whole Liberia, the whole concept of going to Liberia was screwed up from the beginning because you had black people who thought that being in America made them better than the Africans who were already on the continent. That was a horribly, and I guess purposefully, failed experiment. That shit failed miserably. Still, Liberia is still in turmoil today because of that bullshit. You know what I mean? Liberia, and how the hell people going to clear black people off of land and then send other black people to live there? That was some bullshit, too. Wall Street's first stock was slave. That's why I hate the term Black Wall Street. I can't stand the term Black Wall Street just for that term, just for that purpose, because if it wasn't for black people, there would have never been a Wall Street. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for black people, there would never have been a Wall Street. I'm trying to see. Family, is the Facebook feed freezing up on y'all? Y'all gotta let me know. I can't tell. I'll do something down here for a second. Hold on a second. How's the Facebook feed? Facebook feed chill? Is it good? I gotta make sure, man, because you know, Facebook has it in for a brother. I wish I could get y'all on the other platforms, man. Facebook is freaking horrible. I was talking to my brother earlier today. He was calling me up. I had to help him get back on the Facebook because he logged into a computer that didn't recognize him. It's funny how Facebook, your shit can get hacked by somebody across the world, but you log into your own shit. They put you through all types of bullshit to get back on your profile. I'm telling you, man, this is America. So let me scroll down. Let me scroll and see what we got going on in the chat, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Did Brooks Brothers initially make clothes for slaves? I'm not surprised, but listen, this is about every entity you wear. You got that. I mean, even Adidas, you know, part of that German bloodline that, you know, they were still fighting for room in Africa. You know what I'm saying? The sneaker brand Adidas. So I ain't surprised by none of that shit, man. Now, all this money, all this European money is dirty and it's drenched in blood. It's drenched in the blood of our ancestors, man. All of it. There's not one nickel that they have that's not drenched in the blood of our ancestors, man. It's not one nickel. And that's the problem we have, is we have too many, you know, we're very forgiving people. We're very forgiving people. And, you know, we have, we're just in love with everybody. And because we're in love with everybody and we want to be, I've seen black people today. It was a post where a sister put a video up and she stated in the video that black people's problem is we keep fighting everybody else's battles and everybody else's wars. And yet we don't come home and fight our own. And I believe I spoke about that last week when I talked about the misuse of black power and how our black power is used to free other people. Then when we come back home, we don't have any black power. You know what I'm saying? You get all these moral police and this, that, and the other. You know, that same moral fabric and the people who talk that moral bullshit, I'm going to call it what it is, those are descendants of the same people who snitched on Denmark Vesey, the same people that, you know, possibly snitched on Nat Turner, the same people who, you know, Harriet Tubman had to kill, you know what I'm saying, or she had to hold a gunpoint so they wouldn't snitch, you know, all the people who chose not to leave the plantations, they had descendants too. And we have that descendant, benevolent, loving spirit where people love the plantation master so much. You realize Denmark Vesey's plant rebellion was the biggest plant rebellion. If it would have went forward, it would have been the biggest rebellion on this continent. On this continent, it would have been the biggest rebellion. It's ironic that that the same church that they met out of was the church that Dylann Roof ran up in and shot up everybody, including the pastor at that church, who happened to be one of the a community leader at that time. And a lot of people still think it was an assassination, that he was the intended target and everybody else with collateral damage. But the whole concept of the fact that we have right now on our community is we have so many people who love, you know, everybody else who can't stand us. You know, it's the same people like, you need to love all your neighbors, but I can't stand that nigga down the street. You know what I'm saying? It's that concept that we have. It's a sickness. I'm telling you, it's a sickness. And it's a sickness that we have. And this is why, you know, I try to bring truth to the matter. This is the reason why, man, we sacrificed in making the Independence Day Project. I'm trying to tell y'all, family, get your copy of the Independence Day Project because it is well worth it. This movie is one brother posted the other day, man. We saw this movie. We did a movie day at the park the other day. And we showed the joint outside at night. And one brother said, your movie can change lives. That was the dopest, that was the deepest, most heartfelt compliment anybody could ever tell me about the Independence Day Project, is that the movie can change lives. Everybody that watched that movie was like, yo, I need to get out of my house and do something. I had, it's crazy, I had driven Robin, the sister Robin Told, who has the radio show on Sundays. I had given her a ride home from the park. And she was just like, wow, after seeing that movie, she said, I got to watch it about three or four more times just to make sure I grasped all the concepts. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? The Independence Day Project, you know, is dope. I mean, we even break down, my sister Kara Poole in the Independence Day Project breaks down Juneteenth. In the Independence Day Project, the difference between Juneteenth, my brother IJ Tayemba breaks down, you know, what our independence should look like. You know what I'm saying? We get into the culture of black culture and what we do and we talk about. So, you know, I'm just, you know, this is what's the important factors of the matter. And, you know what I'm saying? When we start talking about independence, you know what I mean? My brother, Edward McGill, thank you, brother. Basically, he stated it's required watching. People, if you watch the Independence Day Project, I promise you, you'll be changed. You know what I'm saying? It's not just me talking, rapping. You know what I'm saying? Because I was the biggest critic. If you asked anybody before the movie came out, they would ask me, what do you think about mine? I said, it's okay. It's all right. But then I had people sitting like, brother, this movie right here. You know what I'm saying? When I had people say, it was real community leaders. It was people who I knew wouldn't pull any punches and would give me an honest. But then because my sister Kara Poole, was when I showed the first cut, she was like, brother, I love it, but you got to do A, B, C, D. She ran down like to G. My brother Patrick Irvin wrote me like 5 pages of notes of where he think I needed to make corrections. You know what I'm saying? My brother IJ gave me some feedback. So I got feedback from a lot of people for the final cut. When I brought that final cut on the floor and people saw it, listen, all I'm going to say is, listen. You know what I'm saying? The people who saw it had some wonderful things to say about the Independence Day Project. And in regards to the fact that it's a movie that's talking about now, this present society, like you can step outside and see the things we're talking about right now and ways to counteract it and ways to build and ways to move forward. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I keep telling you, I'll get your copy of the Independence Day Project. I'm not trying to go out there and, you know, be self-serving, but, you know, this is something that's, I'd be selfish to not share with people. You know what I'm saying? That the type of information that we gathered in the Independence Day Project, along with some of the other people, because when you get into the Independence Day Project, you'll want to research all the other projects that's going on. You want to research Brother Oba and African Independence Day. You want to research Brother RJ and all the books he's authored concerning Black independence. You know what I'm saying? Things we need to do to be organized. You know, books like My Two Cents, you know, Blueprint, the BSU Handbook. You know what I'm saying? Things of that nature. You want to check out Mental Chance, The Six A's of Manhood. You know what I'm saying? You're going to want to check out Sister Kara Poole and her website, The Great Griot, and her YouTube channel, and look at all the beautiful work she's doing. You're going to want to check out Joseph Ward, and you want to check out On the Shoulders of Giants and Living Skill and all the different things he's doing with that, you know, with this program. You're going to want to check out PACS. You know, what is this PACS? What is this code of conduct that they talk about in PACS? You're going to want to check those things out. You know what I'm saying? You're going to want to check out all these different, you know, the organizations that were involved in the Independence Day Project, the different people who are doing things in their own community. You realize you're not by yourself. You know what I'm saying? When you watch this journey, like you said, like my brother Oba is saying, it's transformative and truly inspirational. See, we're not just talking about it. You know what I'm saying? So what you say, Sister Mary, you didn't watch it yet? Hey, see, we're gonna have a fight. We're gonna fight, Sister Mary. You can't let Abdul fight because he knows that MMA shit. But we're gonna fight, Sister Mary. You didn't watch it yet. Oh my God, watch it, Sister Mary, please. I need your feedback on the Independence Day Project. My sister Mary Sunshine out in Memphis. So, you know, we really need family to get on board with what's popping right now. You know, we're going to have some really interesting people in the next one. You know, it's going to be a lot of people you saw in the first one. But we're also going to introduce some new concepts around nationalism. We're going to also introduce some new concepts around, you know, the situations we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis now. We're going to be, you know, we're going to continue to build. You know, we're going to continue to build. But the Independence Day Project is the project. If you want to talk about independence and what it looks like for us, it's not this shit you see out here. It's not standing side by side with people who hate you. It's not going to their rallies, going to their celebrations. It's not sitting there trying to eat a piece of their apple pie. No, it is about building the collective within your own community, creating a sense of nationalism and a sense of sovereignty. Not just a sense of sovereignty, real sovereignty. Because when you have a nation behind you, you are sovereign to anybody that wants to harm you. And you'll see a reduction, you'll see a reduction, if not a total stoppage of unarmed Black people being killed by police. You'll see a total reduction, if not, you'll see a total push towards us nationalizing our own school systems and institutions. You'll see us being able to hire our own people so that we don't have to work and put them in schools that are not benefiting them so they can graduate and go further on and become college debt slaves and still not have institutions to provide. You could build your children up in 12 years, and in 4 years away from you in college, they can completely re-educate them. And I'm telling you, because I've seen it done. I've seen it with my own eyes. Brother, okay, we'll talk, brother. We'll definitely talk, beloved. We'll definitely talk about that. You know what I'm saying? You're very sharp, brother. It's a very sharp brother, Brother Ed. And don't forget, Brother Ed got a book out too. Brother Ed, put your link out, brother, because that brother has a book out too that we need to be up on. It all speaks to what Black liberation. I'm not even trying to keep it in America no more, the Independence Day Project. I'm trying to go international. There's some sisters out in UK that I want to get down with. And so, you know, you might see brother, you might hear about a brother, you know, hopping along in Britain in Britain talking about, you know, may I have a spot to tea? No, I'm just kidding. I don't get around like that. I'll be down there in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Getting some of that real curry. Digging. But you know, got some spots in Africa, you know what I'm saying, that we want to get to. I got brothers that actually do a lot of work in and out of Africa that, you know, talk about the agricultural part. you know, we're going to be doing a lot of building with that. So, you know, I mean, I hear there's other filmmakers that are talking about doing a new series of films, this, that, and the other. Don't be surprised now if people who have seen the Independence Day Project and didn't promote it, don't be surprised to see them coming out with films talking about these solutions-based documentaries. Don't for a second, you know what I'm saying? Don't for a second think that these cats ain't seen or heard about the Independence Day Project and seen the concepts, seen the previews, and seen, you know, some of the stuff we've leaked out there. Don't think for a second now that they ain't trying to come up with it, because, you know, we still got Negroes that even though they talk big economic game, this, that, and the other, they're still not really seeing the big picture. Because if it was, they realize if we build our own power, we can all share. We can all share in that big power we built, but they still see the crumbs. And they want access to the crumbs. So I'm gonna let them have the crumbs. My picture, that, you know, we're not fishing in the same pond. You know what I'm saying? The Independence Day Project is about to blow up. I'm just letting y'all know that now. We got some plans for the project. It's about to move to a different level. So for those of you who are down, say you get down, stay down with us. You know what I'm saying? But we do need your support. We do need your financial support, family. That's one thing we do need, and I make no bones about that. We do need it. We need it like you give it to church every Sunday. You want to see the pastor come Sunday? Then you also need to see me telling you the truth about the world that we're going out. So make sure you hit a brother up. I ain't trying to get you nothing. You know, hit it up. You know what I'm saying? Blackindependence.org. Make sure you also check out, see my brother, Edwin McGill has his site up. Go to the site, y'all. SoMuchForHappy.com. SoMuchForHappy.com. And if you're going to be in Philly, we're going to be at the Sankofa House on 48th Street, South 48th Street. I think it's like 910 South 48th Street, if I'm not mistaken. Or 920, might not. It's something. I had the address next week. But it's on 48th Street in Southwest Philly. And we're going to be out there with the Independence Day Project on the 14th. Showing the movie in Philadelphia once again. That might be a small donation at the door, because this is a crowd. This is a fundraiser for the Sankofa House. But the Sankofa House puts on a lot of activities. They put on a lot of events for us, a lot of cultural events. And, you know, as always, they still need funding. So this might be a small fundraiser for them. So be prepared to bring a couple of dollars to the door. You know, we're going to have some local vendors there, most likely. Young people there that's trying to get their business started. So, you know, come on, support. Support Black businesses, y'all. Because we spend like $400 in Walmart and give $10 to, you know, Black cause and think we did our good deed for the day. That's just not fair. Because Walmart's going to continue to rise and keep on building. And that entity that you know, that you're giving donation to, that doesn't work. You don't give donations to organizations and institutions you're trying to build. You invest in them. You become partners with them. You start to work with them to help them build. And so when you start seeing Black upstarts and things of that nature, if they're culturally yoked to the community and the benefit of the community, make sure you support them. Make sure you get a chance to show Black people that we still can love each other, we can still work with each other. And if you had, No, 310 South 48th Street. No, that's that's Ateola's. I know Ateola's address. That's Ateola's. Oh, but we will be doing something big on Ateola's too. Thank you, Ed, for putting that down there. Yeah, we will be doing something big on Ateola's August 3rd, as you know, August 4th is African Independence Day. And so we're going to be doing the Junkanoo. We're going to be at the Junkanoo parade starting at 12 noon on 52nd Street. And we're going to march down to Malcolm X Park. And once we get to Malcolm X Park, we're going to have the festivities for African Independence Day. I believe it's 52nd and Spruce, if I'm not mistaken. Brother Oba, put the information up, brother. You know, but the day before, we're going to have a pre-African Independence Day mixer at Ateola's. And we want everybody to come down, get there around 4:30 so we can mix and mingle with a lot of the brothers and sisters that are going to be doing presentations and are going to be out at African Independence Day. You know what I'm saying? We're definitely going to invite all of the BGQs. That's the Black Gene Queens. So brothers, you know, I heard a lot of them are single. Brothers, y'all better get out there. These are some fly sisters, you know, and they're putting a powerful message out there, you know what I'm saying, about the beauty and the power of Black jeans. So you make sure y'all get out there. You know, we're going to have some people that, some real prominent people from the community out there, but we're going to be out there. So make sure you come out and show out, and also show support for ATOLIS, who always, always, always opens up doors in business to young Black enterprises and within the community. Make sure you show us some love. That Queen Mother has put in work in the community, and she has always, always provided a way for people to come in and to share her wealth. You know, so I'm about to break out of here, family. I've been on here for a while. Let me make sure I get to shout out everybody before I roll bounce. Let me see. Man, let me get you too. Got to watch my movie. Let me see. My brother Chris Gibson, peace and Black power to you, bro. I locked the number in this time. My brother Nancy, what's good, brother? This brother is also doing a campaign with a website that's going to become a premier website to find in Black businesses, and it's going to be a directory, and they're going to be doing some other work. Shout out to him. You know what I'm saying? My young brother, let me see who's out here. I see my brother Joe Ward is in the building. Make sure, Joe, put your link on here, too, for On the Shoulders of Giants. Let's see. My brother Carlos Gallo. Yo, my brother Carlos, man. Yo, peace and Black power, brother. I got your comic book. I'm going to be looking through the comic book. The brother came all the way from Delaware to Philly this week to chill with a brother out the park, him and his lovely family. You know what I'm saying? They got to play. They came out to the Peace Park and jumped on the bouncy balls and the what's it called? Moon Bounce House. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Let's see who else I'm getting on here real quick. Who else hollered at a brother? Not sure this damn thing won't let me scroll, but so far I'm trying to scroll up and get everybody real quick, but it's stopping. The scroll is stopping. Oh, y'all, Facebook is janky as hell. It won't let me get everybody. So if I miss you, you know what I'm saying? And so my brother Bill Young, thank you, brother Bill, for aligning me with Passat. You know, I appreciate that. I met with the director last week, and we're going to be doing some more future meetings. I also was able to network with a lot of good people at that particular workshop. Thank you, brother. Let's see. I think I got everybody. Let's see. Make sure y'all check out the Freedom Train Radio. Yo, guess what, man? We're about to have a live radio station coming up soon on freedomtrainradio.com. So y'all keep your eyes peeled, keep your ears peeled. We're gonna have a radio station. You know what I'm saying? We could tune in all hours of the day. You'll see your active programming. So, okay, Sister Latia Taylor, Peace Queen. How are you, sister? So family, we're about to check out, but you know, this is what we do. You know what I'm saying? We get down with the family, and I appreciate everybody for chiming in. You know, this broadcast is dedicated to bringing truth to power, speaking truth to power.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out tonight. We're an amazing artist. That's right. Make some noise. Come on. Get louder. Make some noise.
Walk with me.
All we have is what we're blessed with. The rest is just.
Walk with me.
Through the trials and tribulations, all the hate, and we gon' make it just.
Walk with me.
Never get too low. We can rise above it. Gotta recognize we struggling and hustling. On this journey we call life, I'm just earning my own stripes. Better days, man, I've been praying like all night. Sacrificing a ball is life, having dreams of me building temples. Elevating, educating, still got dreams of me going to temple. Man, I want to be versus the man I was born into. Born into sin, no judging, but there's no creme de la creme in the city. It's us against them. The worker versus the taker versus the violator. The hustler in me will annihilate ya. Ask the creator why they describe fortune as paper when we all know the real players is shedding love. You spread that, you get it back tenfold. Stay on your feet like insoles. You reap what you sow, right? Don't be asleep for your whole life trying to creep these streets like underneath ain't a hole, right? We'd rather dig ditches instead of building bridges. But I'm here and I lack fear and I need a real witness.
Walk with me.
All we have is what we're blessed with. The rest is just
walk with me.
Through the trials and tribulations, all the hate, and we gon' make it just
walk with me.
Never get too low, we can rise above it. Gotta recognize we struggling
walk
and hustling
with me.
On this journey we call life. Walk with me. Grandmom 50, grandson 16, but to the household he's a king. Cause he envisioned his mother as a queen, but she passed when he was 8 and grandmom took her place. She was a base head and daddy was a base runner. He never loved him, chose his money in replace of him. That's when grandmom stepped in, her grandson best friend. But grandson stepped out, started putting his chest out, started learning his truth by striking fear in the youth. Little boy no more, he need a miracle too. Now ask yourself a question, with all this mass aggression, if he committed a crime out of frustration as an adolescent, does he deserve a prison sentence or a better blessing? Did you even bother to question whether he learned his lesson? His story could come from glory, he could be another person's blessing. Not believing, you get the message. Won't you please walk with me as I give the message?
Walk with me.
All we have is what we're blessed with, the rest is just
walk with me.
Through the trials and tribulations, all the hate, and we gon' make it just
walk with me.
Never get too low, we can rise above it. Gotta recognize we struggling.